This week, we're going to be spending some time each day talking about science in America, the state of science education, science funding, and advancement. Joining us now is France Cordova, the director of the National Science Foundation. Welcome to you. And we've heard the name before, but tell us briefly what the NSF is and what it does.
The National Science Foundation is a federal agency. It has a budget of about $7.5 billion. Its mission is to further the progress of science, and it covers all fields of science and engineering and is principally focused on basic research.
So giving out grants to scientists around the country, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. 85% of the funding that we give out goes to universities and the rest to small businesses and foundations.
Do you have any trouble ever getting that $7.5 billion in federal funding to do the work that you do? Do you have to make your case to Congress, or is it pretty much expected? Of course, this is a great idea. Let's give this money to the National Science Foundation so that they can further scientific research in America.
Oh, we always have to make our case because the taxpayer is funding the National Science Foundation, and we and Congress appropriates our money, and so we're continually making our case that funding basic research is very important for the vitality, the health of the economy, and for our security and our health, and to keep us a leader among nations.
Do you feel like you have enough money to keep us as a leader scientifically among nations?
No. The basic research budget has been pretty stagnant since 2003, I'd say. But the world has changed a lot since then, and other countries are investing more proportionally speaking. And so we do need to invest a lot more in basic research because it's the wellspring of new knowledge about how our world and the universe works.
Who are our biggest competitors in terms of scientific research?
China is really an up-and-coming competitor. Well, let me say, a couple of decades ago, we were number two among all nations, among the OECD nations, in research intensity. That's the ratio of R&D funding as compared to gross domestic product. And now we're number 10. And China will probably overtake us in an absolute sense of funding within a decade from now. So, yes, we're concerned because we're a great nation, and great nation invests in innovation, invests in discovery. And we really need to ensure that we keep doing that and accelerate that, because we get a lot of proposals that we can't fund. We only fund about a fifth of the proposals we receive, and so we're leaving somewhere between $2 and $4 billion worth of great proposals on the cutting room floor each year, and that's a lot of innovation that is not being realized.
So with that said, what would you say is the state of scientific innovation in the U.S. right now?
It's pretty good. I mean, the spirit of innovation is thriving. A lot of it is spurred by the internet and all the communication and network that that's afforded and the new wealth that it's fostered. I think there is a real flowering of innovation, especially in the technology realm, in sectors like information technology. But we're missing a couple of very important things. One thing that we're missing is what I call inclusive innovation. There are many more people who could contribute to innovation, but presently feel excluded. They're not part of the current wave of innovation, but they have a lot to offer. And so among those would be women, underrepresented groups, youth in disadvantaged areas. And the National Science Foundation is trying to address that gap through a program we call Includes. And the second thing that we're missing is that innovation is mostly happening in selected fields like information technology, nanotechnology, and biotechnology. So I think of innovations that are recent, like gene editing and data science and machine learning. But there are many other areas that are not being fully explored, even though they're ripe for innovation. So an example of that gap would be health and medicine. There's a lot that we could do, but not all the knowledge tools that are available are being applied. And in my own field of physics, the mysteries are really piling up. We know that the universe is expanding, and we don't know, for the most part, what it contains. And we need to go to the next step in investigating these mysteries. And then there's energy technology innovation. We need better designs for battery storage, for example. So we need to put more investment into those gaps and into the people that could really help us drive innovation further.
But it sounds like what you're saying is you can't just sit there and wait for the innovation to happen and then go fund it. You're trying to spur people to even go into the sciences in the first place so that they can get to the point where they're innovating in these areas.
Oh, absolutely. There's just so much potential in this country. That's what drives us and why we're all here at the National Science Foundation trying to rev up that engine.
But has that always been the job of the National Science Foundation, to go in on the early side and get more people to go into science? Or are you picking up where somebody else is falling short?
No, I would say the former, that our motto is NSF is where discoveries begin. And I've extended that to say it's where discoveries and discoverers begin. Hmm. Many times when I go around the country, people will come up to me and say, NSF funded my very first grant, and now I'm getting funding from all these other agencies and private foundations and businesses and the like. But my first grant, my first opportunity was with the National Science Foundation. And we really take great pride in that. A large part of our budget goes towards science education and the science workforce. And so we're driven to invest in young people, whether they're undergraduates doing research, graduate students about to embark on their first discovery, and even in K through 12, we fund a lot of learning and teaching of best practices that can be communicated and used in our schools around the country.
If there is a young person listening to this right now, or even the parent of a young person listening to this, and they are interested in science, or they want their kid to be interested in science, what would you tell them to do just on an individual basis? What can they do?
Well, if they're interested, they've already done the first thing, which is to be inspired to be a scientist or engineer. And so what can they do? Well, there is just so much available now through all kinds of media. My first inspiration was actually a public television show about neutron stars and about the universe. And that really said, wow, that's what I want to do. And so there's just inspiration to be gotten everywhere. So I would say just be persistent. Don't give up, and don't let any particular class discourage you. We've all taken that one course that we thought would set us off and away from our vision of being a scientist. But I think just persistence and keeping that vision in front of yourself of the magic of discovery and of finding out new knowledge is just an amazing thing to be able to do as a person of any age.
What was the public television show? Do you remember?
I think it was the old Xerox specials when they used to sponsor them. I mean, it was a long time ago. And they had some MIT scientists talking about how much energy would be liberated if you dropped a marshmallow onto a neutron star. And I thought, wow, that's it. By that time I'm 30, I want to be an astrophysicist.
Wow.
And so,
Is it at all concerning to you, or I should say, how concerning is it to you, that there are many in Washington who don't believe in things that almost every scientist believe in, including, obviously, climate change?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, of course. First of all, we always take things as challenges rather than as obstacles. And so that's a challenge that we have to be very good communicators and to really make sure we know how to articulate the importance of science in all its many guises. And I think that good science, well explained, is a big antidote to people who don't believe. It doesn't by any means cure all, because some are just very resistant to that. But I've seen a lot of people who claim that they don't believe, really what they're saying is, I don't understand. And so we need to take the time to explain and to have good models, metaphors, analogies. So I think it's the stories and never giving up that people can come around when you take the time to explain things to them.
That's France Cordova, the director of the National Science Foundation. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you.